My name is Gloria Elena Luján Pedruesa Molina Lugo. That's my Mexican and given name. My United States name is Gloria Elena Rojas. I was born in Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico, the sixth of seven children. As a Mexican woman, I lived under very strict rules, and I was always considered a rebel. My father's mother and his three siblings lived with us, and there was always a great amount of commotion in my household. People in and out of our home for as long as I can remember. My father taught me by his example that people are people and no one is higher than anyone else. Totally devoted to the Virgin of Guadalupe, my beloved mother. My mother, a saint ascended, I am certain, quietly teaching and guiding, providing all of us with an opportunity to pray the never-ending rosaries every afternoon after school. A U.S. citizen living in El Paso, Texas, my mother, she was what you would consider today as a well-off woman. She fell in love with my father, who was extremely poor, and gave up her citizenship for love. My mother was stricken with cancer and most of the time bedridden. But when she was well and vibrant, she would make us all go to the prisons and to the insane asylum for Christmas time to visit the inmates and take the posadas, the Virgin Mary on the donkey and Joseph by her side, and pray and sing with them and for them and bring them presents for Christmas. There would be items that we would have made by hand or hand-me-downs that we had received from our aunt in California, presents that we treasured but were not allowed to be attached to. So from a very early age, we were taught that all we had was loaned to us, and we were obligated to share it. We would have to give it up, so we would not be attached to anything. We were very poor, and sometimes we would have nothing to eat but oatmeal for weeks on end. My father would go on turkey shoots, and being a master marksman, would come home with 12 turkeys, and we had to clean and cook them, and so we would eat turkey tacos and turkey soup and turkey everything for weeks until they were run out. It was a lot of fun to live with such a large family. Then he would make a lot of money. He did everything from being a bullfighter to a pilot in the Pan American. He was a pilot in the Pan American races. He was a race car driver, a showman, a sharpshooter. We would hold a card in our hands. You've seen that, a playing card, and he would cut it in two with a bullet. He was an entertainer, and ultimately he became a talent promoter. And some of the present Mexican TV stars now were his prodigies. So then we would have eat lavishly with wine at the table. And some Christmases when there was colored toys and paint them and pass them on to the next one of us as new. My mother would knit a cap and sacque for a doll with a broken head to cover the hole and voila, a new toy. We were so blessed and we would go to midnight mass and sing our hearts out every Christmas. When a little Indian lady, Juanita Ramirez, my beloved, came to ask for work, my mother told her she could not afford to pay her a salary, but she was welcome to eat and then leave. But she would not go and beg my mother and father to allow her to remain and live with us. So my mother could not refuse her and asked my father and us to make adobe bricks and build her a room in our backyard where she could live, and she became our nanny. Always cheerful, my mother, even in her very advanced state of illness, never complaining, accepting God's will in everything. She would bake empanaditas, little turnovers, little pies made of pineapple, and had us take them to the corner store to sell to the owner, who would then give us milk, flour, etc. For 19 years, my mother lived after cancer. Her doctor was amazed when he was called to her side and when she was dying. Every month, we would pile into the Chevy, a little car that my daddy had, and go to Isleta across the border, a town outside of El Paso, about an hour and a half from our house, to pay the monthly installment on the money we had borrowed to build our house. Mr. and Mrs. Puckley, millionaires, owned a pecan grove, and when we arrived, my brothers would send me up the trees, and I would jump up and down and had a ball. I did not know we were working, picking nuts for the Puckleys, who were millionaires and generously donated the hill where the Virgin of Guadalupe Church was built in El Paso. After a while, they would send me to play with the owner's daughter, who owned the biggest dollhouse I ever saw. My mother and Mrs. Buckley would then cook dinner for all of us, and then we would all sit down to sup. It is this humble example I learned to see everyone's skin. I never knew I was poor or ever considered myself to be. I was blessed. I've lived a very colorful life. God has taken me by the hand and delivered me He opened new worlds for me I could not have imagined in my wildest dreams. I believe I was destined to become a U.S. citizen. I saw the flag waving and she'd said to me, come on over. And many a time when I crossed the border into El Paso, I would walk by the phone company, an impressive building to me, and I would say to myself, I will work here one day. And I did. My husband and I came across the border with our green cards in 1969. They would not hire green cards in El Paso. My husband was a chemical engineer with all his schooling in the United States and went to work pumping gas at a service station for $2 a day. It was a tremendous blow to his pride as he came from a very wealthy family in Juarez, and he resented that very deeply. I guess in a way he blamed me for taking him away from his cushy life. I became a victim of spousal abuse and prayed with all my heart to God to help me, as I saw myself becoming violent as well, thinking I would kill him one day, or he would kill me and what would become of my children. Prayed and prayed. And then in 1972, I was diagnosed with uterine cancer that had invaded my whole body and was told to put my affairs in order because I had 3 months to live. I had a hysterectomy and endured radium treatments. They used to bury me in dirt with radium. My second child was a year and a half old, and I prayed to God to allow him to know his mother. I feared for both my children with their father if I was not available, and God spared me. This was one of many miracles in my life. The cancer went into my kidney then, and I was told they would remove it, but my other kidney was not strong enough, and I would require dialysis until the end of my life. God then guided me to an Indian woman, precious little Pachita, in Parral, Chihuahua, who operated spiritually on people. Very famous people came to her, and by her hand I was healed once more. God bless her, she made her transition in 1982. In 1974, we became citizens. We had a five-year waiting period to do so, and I was glad all three of us became citizens. I continued praying to God to spare me from the beatings, and I sought the opportunity to get a divorce. In 1978, I divorced my husband, but he would still stop me in the street and beat me, sent me bloody to the hospital. I redoubled my prayers. And in 1982, after working on the phone banks, the call lines that both the Democratic and Republican parties established to call people for donations and to request their votes, they still do it nowadays, I was called by the Republicans who offered me a position in the Ronald Reagan White House. God has heard my prayers. I was saved. I did not inquire what I would do or how much I would be paid, and immediately said yes. I was being taken 3,000 miles away. I was a Democrat then, and then I opened my eyes. My oldest son, Carlos, was attending the University of Texas at El Paso as an electrical engineer, 18 years old, and I decided to leave him in my house, my poor kid. The judge had given me, and my son Ignacio and I packed ourselves up and left for Washington on a very cold January of 1982. We arrived in Washington at 11 p.m. at what is now Reagan Airport with $70 in my pocket and 7 bags with my son in tow. I had a card from a lady I met while working on the phone bank. You know, one of those, if you're ever in Washington, look me up. So I called her and I asked her if she could suggest an inexpensive hotel. She came by metro and took us to her efficiency apartment, where we slept on the floor, and in the morning, she called a real estate friend of hers to assist me to find an apartment. Elliot was his name. God bless him. He was a speechwriter for the president and drove this funny VW bug. God bless him. He took my son to his mother and me around so many places because knowing my situation, he began showing me some awful places I did not even want to walk into. At the end of the day, we went to a house where a basement apartment was for rent. The owner said to me, that'll be $400 deposit and $400 a month. $400 was what I was paying for my mortgage on my 3-bedroom house in El Paso. I was shocked. But I pulled out the $70 out of my pocket and said, I begin working at the White House tomorrow. And this is all I have with me. But as soon as I get paid, I will give you the rest. I did not even know how much I was going to make. So my heart was fearful. The man gave me back the money and said you have a son. Buy some groceries and we will talk later. You can move in immediately. Yes, this and so many other miracles God has given me. He allowed me to use his phone, this man. I called Henry Zuniga, who was to be my boss, with Elizabeth Dole, the special assistant to the president. That's when I found out I was to be a special assistant to Elizabeth Dole. Henry told me I had to report to work the next morning at 8 o'clock, even though it was a Sunday. We were to work on the Hispanic strategy for President Reagan. In the morning, I walked onto the snow with my thin cape looking for the metro, and no signs were available. After I had admonished my son to lock the door and don't come out, I had made him some beans and tortillas, and I left. With my heart in my hand, I searched. Out of the corner came a man in his shorts with a tennis racket. I hurried over and asked him where the metro was, and he pointed and said, over there, but they don't open until 8. Oh, my God, I said, I have to be at the White House at 8. He asked me what would I be doing there, and I told him. To my surprise, he said he was a friend of Henry's and would gladly drive me there. Miracle of miracles, I accepted, and we drove. The gates were opened for him, and he took me inside and introduced me to everyone there, my boss included, who at the first opportunity took me aside to ask me how I knew his friend. I explained I had just met him. Angels abound everywhere around me. A very big black man one day, a very dark with sparkling green eyes, was walking in the Washington streets, caught my eye, and I said to him, "Precious, you all know I am. What beautiful eyes you have," I said to him, and he politely introduced himself as Mujai Ngandu and invited me to Unity Church. I had been attending Unity Church in El Paso since the Catholic Church priest had denied me communion, and his sermons always spoke against divorced women. But that is another story. I didn't want my children to suffer too much. I said I had been looking for them to no avail. Unity Church, I loved it. He also mentioned that they prayed and decreed in the evenings. So I took my son one evening and went. When I walked into the basement of this church, my eyes fell on the image of Saint Germain and the I Am Presence. Although they were decreeing at a very rapid pace, we sat and listened, and I saw the Magic Presence books were for sale, some used at a reduced price, and bought one. They welcomed me into their community, and I was grateful, as I had always been. A very loving experience for me to be in Unity. A few weeks later, I had an episode where I passed a kidney stone and several were obstructing my kidney functions, so I was taken to the hospital. The Unity Church members not only assisted me in the hospital, visiting daily and providing me with Holy Communion, but had one of their members' families take my son in care for him and transporting him to and from school for the duration of my illness. Another miracle in a town where I didn't know anyone. Anyone. And then I lost them. They moved to Maryland where the rent was cheaper and I did not have a vehicle to go there since I had my son in Texas and my rent, etc. My son and I used to walk home from the White House every day in the dark so our neighbors gave him a headlight, so you know, like the ones that the miners wear, and we would sing and whistle home every night. It was quite a trek. One of those nights walking home, we decided to visit the Washington Monument. It was pretty late in the evening and hardly anyone was around. It was winter time, but we thought, why not, and pointed ourselves there, determined to reach it. A policeman in a motorcycle stopped us and asked us what we were doing so late. I explained that I worked at the White House and that the hours were pretty long and had had no time to visit the monuments. He then said, well, in that case, allow me to take you there. He had the keys and took us up in the elevator and showed us Washington, an angel in disguise, or Saint Germain, you tell me. But we had a ball. Cancer reared its ugly head against in 1990 now in my intestine, and my son, then 20, came to the hospital with me. Both of us afraid this was it. He was dying. So we got on our knees and we thanked God for the 20 years together. But he spared me again. It tried to take me later on as a lump in my breast, and I had a lumpectomy. And the last one in 2003 appeared as cancerous polyps on my vocal cords. My doctor said I would lose my voice. And I retorted, to the delight of my enemies, I will be silenced at last. But my God would not have it. He spared me again. I identified with that song, 100 million miracles are happening every day. And you know, they are happening all to me. After my presidential appointment ended, I went to work to the phone company. Since I had already worked 10 years in El Paso, I wanted to bridge my service for my pension's sake. So I walked into the restroom of the building and a lady was there taking a medicine I recognized as one of the ones I had been given when I was ill with cancer. And I said so. I said, I can smell your medicine and I want you to know if you need help, I'm here for you. She looked me up and down and left without response. And 2 weeks later, she showed up in my office and said, Did you mean what you said in the bathroom? Of course I said it. And she retorted, I am an only daughter with an only daughter, and I'm inoperable. Her daughter and my youngest son were the same age. My son Ignacio had chosen to go to military academy at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, as an intern. So I left my apartment and moved in with her and took care of her for the 2 years that she lasted me. Her mother, a Jewish lady, her daughter and her family became my inheritance. I had never received a more generous gift, for I only gave her 2 years and she gave me her treasures. Love, the gift that keeps on giving, for it knows no boundaries, nor time nor space can mar it. A tiny act of kindness is still giving fruits. When my beloved Dora Rora passed away, I asked her mother if she would consider adopting me, as I had not had a mother for such a long time. So she did. And whenever I would introduce her to my friends as my mom, she would say to them, speaking of me, she adopted me, I did not adopt her. She became my very best friend and truly a mother to me, and my children adored her. My girl, now an accomplished journalist, minored in Spanish for me, won a Fulbright scholarship, has written 2 bestseller books, and the second is in the process of becoming a movie by Reese Witherspoon, has 3 precious children, and is arriving tomorrow for a book signing and to speak at a group of Democratic women. I love her dearly. The daughter I never had because of cancer, the gift from God, and my beloved Rhoda. These are only glimpses of the hundreds of miracles and blessings I have received. I've been so blessed and have been recipients of so many miracles in my life, just to have been trusted by God in allowing me to have the 2 sons that I have, and to include sharing a daughter, grandchildren, and friends. I've been privileged to meet people and go places and do things that people only dream of. And I keep asking myself, like Juan Diego, who am I to deserve these blessings? In 2003, while caring for Rhoda's mom, I was flipping channel for her on TV. She had cancer also, and she was dying of stomach cancer. And an image of Elizabeth Clare Prophet in front of the I Am Presence appeared with an 800 number in front of it. I didn't know who she was, but I immediately called the number and asked them, thinking this was Unity Church, where they were and how I could connect with them. They told me of a teaching center in Maryland, and I rented a car and my son and I went there. Walking into the house, Jess Balzoni, Therese de la Marche, and others were decreeing very fast, but I was drawn to the image of Saint Germain, the I Am Present, Godfrey, and Lotus, as I had been reading all his books and sat there. I was told that they had a summer conference in Montana that would begin in 2 weeks, and the plane fare was $400 on Delta. I went into the sanctuary and I said to Saint Germain, I would like to go if you wish me to. Send me the $400. We visited and we went home floating on air. I was so happy. A few days later, I received a letter from a lady in El Paso whom I had loaned some money with a check. I didn't even remember. A check was $400, telling me that the rest would be sent at a later date. I didn't even remember it, but I saw it as God's and Saint Germain's way of telling me I should go. So I called and Therese told me about accommodations and food, and I said I had no money for either. But then she suggested I camp out and volunteer. So I borrowed a sleeping bag and packed myself and bought my ticket and went to my first conference. The heart was magnificent. And that night, I woke up at 3 a.m. and walked out to hear the Russians pray the rosary in their tent. And then saw 3 women get out of a pickup truck. A man came with a big tank truck and they proceeded to clean the porta potty toilets. I made my way down to them and asked them how I could volunteer to do that. I used them and never thought someone had to clean them for us, for my use. They gave me the information and I would clean the toilets and the showers from then on. And then I would go to the tent to decree and listen to Elizabeth Clare Prophet. Mother gave the teachings of the Ascended Masters, and my first dictation was by the Mahachohan. That summer and every summer I could afford to attend, I went and I did that. That day I noticed that there were several Hispanics from all over. Some of them had hardly anything to eat. One man, I noticed, would buy a piece of bread, and that was all he would eat. So I made it my responsibility to create what I called the Table of Abundance. Since I had my meals given to me for my service, I would serve myself generous portions and place them on the table to share with utensils and napkins for everybody, like a buffet, but smaller. I had brought peanut butter and nuts and other staples and placed them there and announced in Spanish that this was for everyone to share. Very soon, Our table was overflowing and a great group was formed. I also informed the Mexicans and all who would listen the secret of my success was service and abundant gifts of food and clothing to be had. So we became the cleaners and visited Mother Mary's closet, all receiving warm coats and clothes to wear and healthy food to eat. I could never afford to attend Summit University while Mother gave it here in the States. But now, by God's grace, I have attended Summit University in Russia, given by Mother, and listened to Lanello's recordings by the generosity of my beloved brothers and sisters, Celeste and Thomas Miller, Constant Wilsell, and so many others. El Moria's eyes were upon me the moment I walked into the building at the Church Universal and Triumphant, and I went straight to the altar to give thanks to Mahachokhan and, of course, our beloved Mother Mary, with her hands extended to the world, and our beloved Padre Pio, who used to play hide-and-seek with me when I went in to pray the rosary early in the mornings. He would peek about my decree book and make me laugh, and then he would get sullen again. He woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning the other day and prompted me to broadcast, so I did for 2 hours, but he asked me to give his heart dreams at his request. The saying, do not stop yourself from entertaining strangers that they may be angels in disguise, has been so true in my life. Angels all are. We all are. We just need to recognize each other. Like these, I have a million stories to tell you, each one more amazing than the other. A lady at work the other day asked me, how is it that God has given me so many miracles? Who am I? And I simply said to her, like you, I am my Father's daughter, beloved of his heart. Like Juan Diego, I asked my Virgin de Guadalupe, and she responds, am I not here? For I am your mother. Es que no estoy aquí, que soy tu madre. In 2012, working at the airport, I fell and broke my hip. After a few months, I was told by the physician that the bone had separated from the prosthesis and that a second operation would be required. I prayed to God and the Masters, and one day I came across a TV program where a healer was speaking, and he said, if you wish to be healed, come to the TV and place your hands on it and ask Jesus to heal you. So I did, and I was healed. Mother Mary told me, you have been healed from your infirmities. However, due to your advanced age, some things in your body have remained as they were. She speaks to me just like she speaks to you in your heart. So listen intently, and you were here. Now working in international arrivals, one of my co-workers shared her experience visiting Medjugorje and how Mother Mary presented herself in profusing the air with a scent of roses that someone told her was her calling card. No one in her party had experienced it. My adopted cousin, Rhoda's cousin, a Jewish lady, found Mother Mary through service she performed for her, for doing some psychiatric work for her cleaning people in her building. She is now a devoted to Mother and to Archangel Michael, who supplies her with parking spaces and has told her recently, you call your mother when you wait, so why don't you call me also to be with you all day? And she's doing that more often. We all are blessed and endowed by our Father. I just sometimes feel there is so much more I could do and fall short, so I keep striving to never give up. They can slow me down, but they can't stop me, those varmen. God continually shares his graces on me in many ways, allowing me to translate simultaneously when my English was learned from TV. He brings me things that other people require. A walker for an 8-year-old girl in Africa that had to push a plastic chair to walk around. A hospital bed and electric wheelchair for a lady in downtown D.C. whose wheelchair had broken and had no way of buying a new one. My house is full of donations to the 2 food banks I work with. 8 little ladies older than myself I provide assistance to, etc. This is the house that God loaned to me while I'm on this earth, and I share it and its contents with anybody indeed. So, I am Gloria Elena Rojas. When my father was angry at me, he would say, Gloria Elena, why did you do that? And that was his way of scolding me. I can hear him now. But I hear my father saying, Gloria Elena, keep on working. So, that is my story, and I'm very grateful to you all. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you so much for sharing your life story with us, at least part of your life story. And I'm wondering if you might tell us a little bit more about your adopted daughter. And I have an article here that she wrote about you. I don't know if you have that article, if you'd like to read it or have me read it. And tell us a little bit more about Yael. Is that her name?
Yael, yes. She's precious. I mean, her mother was very worried about her because she was afraid that she would become a Jewish American princess, you know, one of those that very materialistic. She was very afraid. But let me tell you, she's incredible. My girl strove to go to school and to become a journalist. She won a Fulbright scholarship and went to Spain and went to school with Carolina Herrera's daughter, who's the designer, a very famous designer, who now she adores her. And gave her her wedding present, her wedding dress when she got married, and dresses her now that she has all these speaking engagements. You should see the clothes that she wears. It's incredible. And she's coming in tomorrow, and she wrote this article to me. She's this that I didn't realize that had been published. So allow me to read it. She said, "My aunt comes from Juarez, Mexico. She's a survivor of domestic violence who never finished high school, and she's among the wisest leaders I know. When I told her I was considering applying to business school, but that a few folks told me about how hard it was to get accepted, she stopped me immediately. And she said, never import other people's limitations. And she was right, because what she meant was something I learned in the years since I first adopted her advice as a life guide. Everyone will tell you no. Everyone will tell you it can't be done until you do it. And then they will assemble to tell you how happy they are that you followed their advice and pushed forward. People don't mean to step on your dreams. They seek to temper your expectations and to inject their own reality into your sometimes fantastic aspirations. But if you seek to live your life, your own life truly, you have to ignore everyone else and barrel forward. Otherwise, you will be living other people's lives hemmed in by other people's expectations and limitations." Her name is now American Gail Chemach Limon. But Yael is very special. Her father and a gentleman very much like my own husband passed away a few years back. And she was a generous heart, took care of him until he passed and sent him to his way when he did. So I have been blessed with three children, two of my own womb and this precious one. I'm very proud of all of them. And I keep saying, God, how can you trust me so much? I don't know what to do sometimes.
Well, thank you, Gloria. Thank you very much. We are so grateful to hear your story and so grateful that you are one of our precious heart friends. Thank you very much. And thank you also for all the translations that you do. It's such a wonderful service to be able to translate David's words spoken in English into the Spanish language so we can have a much wider audience for the Master's teachings.
Listen, if it's a gift from God, I don't know how I do it. He allows me to, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to serve. So thank you for the opportunity to be of service today, and may God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Gloria. Bye-bye.